Yeah, I'm having a little trouble up here myself. Yes, Lord. We're going to read a couple passages of Scripture today in 2 Kings chapter 6, if you want to turn there this morning. I do want to tell you as you're turning there that this is kind of, you know how the movies sometimes they have warning themes, you know, warning. Mature theme, disturbing images or whatever, all right? There's going to be a couple of places where there's going to be a couple disturbing things in the passages that we share today. I'll just do that just to forewarn you so you're not like, oh my gosh, what are we reading this for, right? Yeah, and so, but you'll know it'll all come together for you hopefully at the end this morning. So 2 Kings chapter 6, just not really, I'll tell you. 2 Kings chapter 6, if you've got a Bible or you're on your Bible app, verse 24, 2 Kings chapter 6, sometime later, Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, mobilized his entire army and marched up and laid siege to Samaria. And there was a great famine in the city. The siege lasted so long that a donkey's head sold for 80 shekels of silver and a quarter of a cab of seed pods for 5 shekels. The menu choices back then were kind of interesting, don't you think? He's like, I'll have the donkey's head, right, with a side of pea pods or something, you know. Anyway. As the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried to him, help me, my lord the king. Here's the disturbing part. The king replied, if the Lord does not help you, where can I get help for you? From the threshing floor, from the wine press? And then he asked her, what's the matter? And she answered, this woman said to me, give up your son so we may eat him today. Tomorrow we'll eat my son. So we cooked my son and ate him. And the next day I said to her, give up your son so we may eat him. But she'd hidden him. When the king heard the woman's words, he tore his robes. As he went along the wall, the people looked and they saw that under his robes he had sackcloth on his body. Wouldn't it disturb you to hear something like that taking place? Chapter 7, verse 3. Now there were four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate, and they said to each other, why stay here until we die? If we say we'll go into the city, the famine is there and we will die. And if we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. And if they spare us, we live. If they kill us, then we die. Smart people, right? This is smart guys right here. Well, if we live, we live. We die, we die. All right. Okay. Yeah. At dusk, they got up. They went to the camp of the Arameans. And when they reached the edge of the camp, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army. So that they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and the Egyptians to kings to attack us. So they got up and they fled into the dusk. And they abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys. And they left the camp as it was and they ran for their lives. And the men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp, and they entered one of the tents, and they ate and they drank. And then they took the silver and the gold and the clothes, and they went off and they hid them. And then they returned to the camp, they entered another tent, and they took some things from it, and they hid that also. And they said to each other, what we're doing is not right. This is a day of good news, and we are keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let us go at once and report this to the royal palace. And so they went, and they called to the city gatekeepers, and they told them, we went into the Aramean camp, and no one was there, and not a sound of anyone, only tethered horses and donkeys. And the tents left just as they were. And the gatekeeper shouted the news, and it was reported within the whole palace. And we'll stop there in our story. Let's pray. God, I pray that the words of the scriptures and the words that I speak would be more than just human words, that they would be fueled by your Spirit, that they would help us in our faith and in our expression of our faith to others in our community. Lord, help us, God, to hear what the word of the Lord is saying to the church. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we're continuing with our summer road trip message series where we're seeking to ramp up, so to speak, our evangelistic temperature, seeking to bring others along on this adventure of following Jesus. And you may be wondering, what on earth does 2 Kings have to do with evangelism? How does this overlooked and very disturbing passage of Scripture apply to the spread of the message of Jesus, His death and His love and forgiveness and life eternal that is available to every human person? Well, this morning I want to extract a few principles from this Old Testament passage and speak to our calling to be outward focused and reaching out to people who are without faith in Jesus Christ. And one of the things that you may have noticed right away is that things in 2 Kings are at an all-time low in the land. Wouldn't you say? Things are at an all-time low. There's famine in the land. And what follows famine? Desperation. Hopelessness usually accompanies famine and desperation as well. And along with the physical famine, there's a spiritual famine, isn't there? There's a moral famine, for sure. And faith and trust in God was at this all-time low. And you know what's interesting? Is that 2 Kings mirrors the landscape of Jesus' day, really. But it also mirrors the spiritual landscape of today, in the 21st century. There's a spiritual hunger and a thirst that exists among people today in our world. There are people who are empty. There are people who are desperate. They're seeking for something to fill their souls up spiritually. There are people who want to connect with God, but they just don't know how to do it. And you might remember these words of Jesus that I think seem to fit here in this moment. It says in Matthew chapter 9 that Jesus went throughout all the towns and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because what? They were harassed. They were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." I think we gained a few new workers today, don't you think? With Evan, Asher, gained a few new workers for the kingdom. Maybe not just two, three. We have a little boy who gave $1.13 sowed into the kingdom. Huh? And we had a part to play in that. Then he said to the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." The problem is, not many are asking. And it's an all-time low in the land. How many would agree? It's all-time low in the land here, 2 Kings, all-time low. So here are four lepers. Not the brightest crayons in the box, right? But they're at the gate of the city and they're weighing their options, right? They do their own cost-benefit analysis, you know, to figure out their best move. You know, in a cost-benefit analysis, you try to figure out the bottom line cost and risk, And what are the ultimate benefits to making a particular decision or engaging in some new activity? So they've got some decisions to make. They've got to figure out, right, what's the best decision to make? So they narrowed down these options. They went into the city. They might get roasted and eaten. Scratch that one, right? If they stayed where they were, they would just starve to death. Not a very good option. Didn't have great benefits. Like, mark that one off. If they went near the enemy's camp, they might be run through with a sword, or they might just live. At least that's sort of positive in the right direction of life, right? So they made a pact. They said, hey, let's take a risk and let's try something. So they went toward the enemy's camp and they said, so let's go over to the camp of the Aramaeans and surrender. They spare us. It's a funny line, I think. They spare us, we live. If they kill us, then we die. I just think that's the most hilarious line right there. It's just like, I don't know about you. I think that's funny. Right? They take a risk. They try something. They don't have much to lose at this point. And I think this is where we stop as Christian. We stop right here. And this is the kind of attitude that we need as followers of Jesus when we consider sharing our faith with another person. If we do a cost-benefit analysis of intentionally sharing our faith, we would discover that the worst thing that might happen might be one of three things. One, someone might say, thanks, but no thanks on the Jesus thing. Two, I need a little more time to think about what you're saying. Three, I'm not interested in talking about religious stuff, so don't talk to me again about God. End of story. Leave me alone. Right? Right. Now, none of those replies would totally shatter our self-esteem and destroy our faith. Right? None of those replies, let's just put it this way. The closest that you and I might ever come to suffering for our faith in telling someone about our faith is someone says, no thanks. No thanks on Jesus. No thanks. That's the closest trouble we might get, right? Closest trouble. My point is this. We don't have much to lose. And heaven has everything to gain. Amen? We don't have much to lose, and heaven has everything to gain. And so the risk that we would make in approaching another person about spiritual matters is a small one, really, compared to the lepers. Right? The lepers, they decided that something had to change. And they stepped out, they got a little adventurous, and to see what would happen. And their risk paid off more than they ever dreamed, didn't it? More than they ever dreamed, their risk paid off. They made the right decision. And it says that at dusk they got up, they went to the camp. They reached the edge of the camp. Nobody in the camp. And then they entered one of the tents. They ate. Mind you, there's a famine in the land, right? So desperate, they would consider eating. They ate, they drank, carried away silver, gold, clothes. They hid it, dug a hole, hid it, returned, did the same thing. Here, the entire army, right? They walked off. They left all their booty, all the things that they had acquired through previous wars and battles, everything that they had acquired, food, wine, silver, gold, clothes, right? And they never thought, they never dreamed that they would stumble on all these abandoned riches. It was like, this is what I thought about. It's like in the movies where the obsessed man finally finds the hidden treasure. You know these movies, right? Finally finds the hidden treasure and is just rolling around in the pile of coins like a madman. Just like, whoa, whoa. And he's throwing up coins in the air, right? Yeah, I bet this looks really cool, doesn't it? Yeah. He's throwing up coins. He's rolling at it. You know, he's just, he's got these goblets, gold goblets, you know, he's holding on to. He's stuffing them in his pants, right? All four of them, you know, their pants are out to here. That's my imagination. I don't know what you think about that, but I'm just like, boop. That's what I think. And that's what they did. They walked into a tent. They drank the wine. They ate some food. They tried on some clothes. What do you think about this? Right? How's this one look? Right? You know, they tried on some clothes. They stuffed gold in their pockets. They flattened the tent. They piled up everything they found in the tent. They drug it off, and they hid it. And they hid it. They came back to the camp, went into the tent, did the whole thing over again, went out and hid their treasure. And they went tent after tent. This is what they did. Then, all of a sudden, they come to their senses. Their conscience stops them dead in their tracks, right? And they say to one another, you recall what they said? Then they said to one another, we're not doing right. This is a day of good news, and we're keeping it to ourselves. We're keeping it to ourselves. And if we wait until daylight, we might get punished. Punishment's going to overtake us. And so let's go at once and report this to the royal palace. This is what's happening. So here they are. They're eating, they're drinking, they're laughing, they're dancing. They're just about hysterical over what they walked into. Drinking in all of the good fortune. Meanwhile, people are back dying in the city. They're dying in the city. And they're rolling around in the piles of coins, keeping it all to themselves. Now, I think that there's a principle here very similar to what Jesus taught the disciples. And the principle is this: don't stockpile your faith. Or as Jesus would put it, don't bury your treasures. Don't hide your light. You know that one? Matthew chapter 5, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp, put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before man, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Don't stockpile your faith. Don't bury your treasure. Don't hide your light. Which is exactly what the lepers were doing until they came to their senses and discovered what we're doing here is wrong. This is not right. Now, can I ask you something? Haven't we, as Christians, walked into a camp filled with riches? Do you know what the camp is called? The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. We have been given incredible riches that we weren't asking for, nor do we deserve. Romans chapter 5 says God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. 1 Timothy, Paul says to Timothy, the grace of our Lord was poured out on us abundantly along with the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1 says, we are to praise the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ because He has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Colossians, in Christ or in a relationship with Christ, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Haven't we been blessed beyond belief? As believers, as followers, haven't we been blessed beyond measure? It's exciting to drink in the goodness and the mercy of Jesus, and I kind of feel like that's what we've been doing today, in a sense, in what God is doing today. We're drinking in the goodness and the mercy of Jesus. It's wonderful to enjoy the blessings of knowing Jesus. It's wonderful to enjoy the forgiveness and the freedom that has been given to each of us. It's a wonderful experience to be in the body of Christ, isn't it? And find friendship in a new community and to be a part of something called the church. It's wonderful. Think about the church in the book of Acts, that original group of believers. The Bible says this first church was a community where God's power was flowing, where people entered into friendships who were supportive. Everybody is trying to outserve one another. They were in each other's homes, enjoying each other's company, eating together. Generosity ran deep in the hearts of every Christian in the first church, and they joined with one heart to worship Jesus, and a God-fearing awe existed in their midst. We've walked into a camp. We've walked into a camp, the kingdom of God. And let me ask you this, and we're going to just finish this up, because I just feel like God is just continuing to help us to take one step closer to being a little more courageous and stepping out and sharing our faith with other people. But let me just ask you, when you met Jesus and you surrendered your life to His leadership and you became a part of His church, what kind of experience was it for you? Did you strike oil? Did it feel like it was the most exciting thing that ever happened in your life? I hope so. I sure hope so. You see, as followers of Jesus, we need to do our very best to keep that feeling and that experience just firm in our minds, that moment that we come to know Christ and what He did for our lives and how it changed us, you know, completely. But we need to also to do the very best to make sure that we don't stockpile our faith. And we need to let everything that God has poured into our lives spill out onto other people. We need to share the booty of God's love with others, if you want to say it that way, to people who are lost, to people who are searching, to people without hope, to people who are hurting, to people who are starving to death spiritually. To people who are famished. What do people know about you? More than likely, they probably know some of your political views. Not trying to meddle. They know what sports teams you root for. Because some of you, I know who some of you root for because you wear it right on your shirt. It's pretty obvious. Right? They might know some of your favorite books or movies, the kind of music that you listen to, your favorite restaurants. They might know a little bit about your family. But what do they know about your faith? What do they know about our faith? Do you know what it's going to take to become a risk taker and share our faith with others? It's going to take an experience like the lepers, 2 Kings. When we come to the place where we say, we're not doing right. This is a day of good news and we're keeping it to ourselves. We're keeping it to ourselves. It's coming to the realization that there really are people who are spiritually starving. And it's going to be the thing that will push us past our fears and make us bolder in talking to other people about Jesus and His offer of eternal bread, His offer of salvation. So that they no longer are starving spiritually, but they're fed by the life of Jesus Christ. Let me just wrap up by offering this to us all. Last week we said every day is today, right? Every day is today, right? And we can live each day reminiscing about the past. Yeah, or we can live each day planning for tomorrow, which I would say that's probably the majority of people, right? They live today planning for tomorrow. Or we can enjoy His presence today and join in on what God is doing to draw and to gather others into His kingdom. We can just let today be today. And so I say this today. Like the lepers of 2 Kings, let's make a decision to really enjoy His blessings. Amen? The blessings that we have in our relationship with Jesus, let's make a decision to refuse to stockpile our faith. And if we make that decision, we just might find that we can get in on bringing some people with us in this adventure of knowing and living for Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, I pray that the words of the lepers would ring in our ears. What we're doing here is not right. This is good news, and we're keeping it to ourselves. Bring to mind to us, to each of us, those of us who are following Jesus, bring to mind all the amazing things, all the amazing blessings that we have in our lives, all the things that He's done for us and in us. And then help us, Lord, to take the bull off of the light somehow, some way. So that we can light up those around us. The love and the faithfulness and the grace of God. We've got a long ways to go. We've got a long ways to go. Some of us have been Christians for decades, and have to confess and say, we still have a long ways to go. Help us, Lord. Help us. Let the Word of God just sink in today. Let it move you. Let it motivate you. Let it inspire you. Let it change you. Some of you may want to make just a physical decision, physical response, that you're going to not stockpile your faith just by standing. Say, Lord, I am not going to stockpile my faith. I want to share the good news of the kingdom. I'm not going to stockpile. Want to just make some kind of physical response, just stand and see. Tell the Lord, I'm not going to stockpile my faith. I'm not going to do it. I've done it for too long. I'm not going to do it. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Lord, see those who are making this commitment. Put power on that commitment, Lord. Seal it with your Spirit. Before I dismiss, let me just say this. If you've never, you're in this room and you've never made a commitment to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you don't know His grace and His love, you don't know Him, but you want to be a follower of Jesus, to experience grace and freedom and the life of God in you. After I dismiss today, I just invite you to come up and we'll help you in that decision and commitment. We'll pray with you. It's the best thing you could do to walk into the camp of the kingdom of God, to experience and enjoy God's presence. Bar none. Best thing you could ever do. God, go with us today. Give us some stories of us stepping out. Give us some experiences, some opportunities. To share our faith with other people. I pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Be blessed. Be blessed.